the Nakba, which occurred almost 60 years ago. But on this anniversary of the Nakba, I think there are many facts which we must overview and must also highlight. First of all, when we remember the Nakba, we must stress that this Zionist entity was actually established, a hostile entity based upon stealing others' territories, an entity which is also based upon massacres against women and children, an entity which is based upon forcing people to flee their homes. And this entity now, its main foundation is occupation. So this entity, which is based on massacres, on forcing people to flee their homes, based on occupation, is not a legitimate entity, and it cannot be a legitimate entity, and we cannot, in any case, call the Zionist entity a legitimate entity. Second of all, the founding of this hostile entity, of course, the current generation and the next future generations, we must remember, we must remind all those people that the existence of this entity in the Islamic world 60 years ago, the founding of this entity, is the main reason behind the occurrence or the wars which occurred and the tension and the problems and the crises which we witnessed in the region. The founding of this entity is a reason for all this. So the previous generations and the current generation and the future generations will have to take responsibility of the repercussions and the results of the founding of this cancer entity in this region, the Zionist entity. And all people must know that the wars which were launched in this region were imposed by this entity because of the mere existence of this entity and because of its hostile nature and because of the acts which were done by people in the region, the Arab people, the Arab armies, the Arab leaders, the resistance. Of course, what was done by resistance and people and Arab governments previously is a natural reaction to the occupation. Of course, we saw what happened in 1948. The occupation spread in 1967 and extended in 1982 towards Lebanon. And the third point I would like to highlight is that the truth must be said in the region. The truth must be said as it is. The main reason behind the conflict is Palestine. The main reason behind all the problems is Palestine. What happened after that are the repercussions of the conflict over Palestine. And of course, they always depended on cancelling out the Palestinian cause to try and make Palestine a lost, forgotten cause for their people, for the people of Palestine, and for our people, the Arab and Islamic people and the people of the world. And time and again, they planned and they plotted and they did their utmost to force the Palestinians to accept the reality and to surrender and to show despair and abandon their territories and their nation and their legitimate rights. And even in the 1950s, of course, they spoke about nationalizing, the issue of nationalizing Palestinians, and an alternative country was also raised. Self-government was also raised. Of course, naturalization means in the West Bank and Gaza and outside Palestine. In addition to this, of course, they continued with their efforts behind the scenes, calculated efforts, but were being made behind the scenes to force the Palestinians to leave their homes, to go to many different countries of the world. And they facilitated the Palestinians to leave Palestine and blend in into the communities where they immigrate so that there would no longer be any Palestinians and no longer be any Palestinian cause. Now, after 61 years have passed on this conspiracy and this international collaboration against Palestine and against the people of Palestine, and In light of the perseverance of the Palestinian people, it is necessary on this day to salute the Palestinian people and their armed resistance, to salute their popular intifada, to salute their perseverance, their patience during this period, this 61-year period. We must salute the martyrs, the Palestinian martyrs, the families of the martyrs, the wounded. We must salute the 11,000 detainees who are still imprisoned in Israeli jails. We must salute those refugees who are living in all parts of the world, in some refugee camps, under very, very difficult and harsh living conditions, like in the refugee camps here in Lebanon. And we must also salute the refusal of the Palestinians to be nationalized in the countries where they live outside Palestine. In spite of these very difficult conditions, these people did not just refuse to give up and refuse to weaken, but this people, when they were waiting for the people of Palestine to show that they were desperate, at that same time we saw the Intifada in Al-Aqsa, the popular Intifada, and the armed resistance, the great armed resistance, which the Zionists called the Second War of Independence. And we must also salute the sacrifices of the Arab and Islamic people during this period of 61 years. We must salute the sacrifices of the Arab armies, and especially the Egyptian and the Syrian armies. Of course, these two armies confronted and took part in very difficult wars, wars of exhaustion, of course, with the Zionist entity, and there was a heroic performance for the Egyptian and Syrian armies, which will not be forgotten in history. And we must also, on this occasion, we must remind the Arab and Islamic Ummah, and we must remind all those freedom lovers in the world, especially the governments and the peoples in the Arab world. We must remind them that Palestine and the people of Palestine and the sufferings of the Palestinians today, whether these sufferings be in the Gaza Strip, of course, the negative effects of the last war and the isolation, the siege, and the very, very humiliating living conditions, in spite of the will of the resistance and the perseverance and the rejectionist idea of the resistance. And we also have seen the sufferings in the West Bank, the settlement activities, the arrests, or in Al-Quds, for example. We have seen the demolishing of the homes, of course, people fleeing their houses, or in the territories of 1948, the threats also to force people to leave their homes, or in the Palestinian refugee camps inside Palestine and in all other countries of the world where there are very difficult living conditions, and also in the prisons, as I said, 11,000 detainees are living behind bars. And so, in light of all this, the primary responsibility is on the shoulders of the Palestinians, but the whole Ummah also takes responsibility of standing side by side in support of these people and showing solidarity with these people in all possible means. And of course, the Palestinian people have proven themselves to be worthy of being supported. The Palestinians have proved themselves worthy of having the support of the Ummah, and evidence of this is the refusal of the Palestinians to surrender for tens of years. And also another piece of evidence of this is that the Palestinians have continued with their confrontation with the enemy. So the second main issue now, the second main topic which I would like to speak about, and this is within the perspective of what happened from the Nakba until now, this second topic is the military maneuvers, the Israeli military maneuvers, which is called Turning Point 3. This is what the Israelis name these military maneuvers, and these maneuvers will be held at the end of this month, on the 31st of May until the 4th of June. This is the main issue which I would like to focus on in this speech. If time allows it, I will also speak about the spying networks. If we don't have more time, I'll speak about the spying networks on Friday. Of course, on Friday I will have a speech in Nabatiya in southern Lebanon. Now, concerning the Israeli military maneuvers, it is a sensitive and important issue, and so it is necessary to explain our position towards these maneuvers. Of course, I divided this topic, first of all, the main issue, what do these maneuvers mean, turning point three? What are the Israelis actually doing? And second of all, trying to analyze the reasons behind these maneuvers and what is Israel to intend to do after these maneuvers. And the third point, how must we act in response? Now let me speak about the first topic in this subject. First of all, ever since the end of the July 2006 war, the Israeli enemy agreed, all of the leaders in the Zionist entity, whether they be in the Israeli government or in the army or in the intelligence services, experts, media, even on the streets, all Israelis agreed that there was a complete failure in the war on Lebanon in July 2006. Now, do they call it a defeat or not? Do we call it victory or not? Let's forget this. But in general, in Israel, they agree that the Israeli army failed in achieving any of its aims in Lebanon. A complete failure. And we all listened to the Vinograd report and the terms which were used in the report and the disappointment which was expressed, the gaps which were mentioned, the gaps which were discovered in the performance of the Israeli government, the security cabinet, the prime minister, the defense minister, the heads of the army in general, and the intelligence services of Israel. So after the end of the July 2006 war, they formed the Vinograd Committee. The Vinograd Committee tried to uncover the real problems, why the Israelis were not able to achieve their aims. But the Israeli Ministry of War, Ministry of Defense, put together 40 investigating committees which looked into all different details. Vinograd spoke about the generalities, the general items. Now, in light of the evaluation of the Vinograd Committee and the conclusions reached by the other 40 investigating committees, they reached the conclusion that there are many problems for the Israelis which must be addressed. And now, today, as you know, when the Israelis or when the enemy has certain vices, we must confess, yes, that they do have vices and they are serious. And this entity is acting and behaving in accordance with its interests, a hostile interest, but they are nevertheless behaving to serve their interests, these hostile interests. So for that reason, directly they began to draw up plans to rebuild the Israeli army, to fill in the gaps and to address the problems and to use new weapons and new technology and to begin with a new training and new military maneuvers, new big important military maneuvers. Of course, time will not allow me to mention all of these issues in detail, but concerning the training, of course, there was very comprehensive training, military training, military maneuvers, and the maneuvers they have held ever since July 2006 and now, a high number of military maneuvers were held. For example, we had military maneuvers which use the ground forces, air force, and navy forces at the same time, the three main branches of the Israeli army. They held these maneuvers, of course, but they do hold maneuvers on the border with southern Lebanon. Of course, they also did organize and hold maneuvers which were called Turning Point 1, and these maneuvers focused on the internal situation in Israel, how to defend against any possible attack. All the Zionists, all Israel took part in this. Of course, the Flowers of Spring maneuvers between different military branches also in the north. The Winds of the North was also another military maneuvers held between different branches of the Israeli military. The Rocks of Fire were other military maneuvers held on the level of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and different weapons, of course, Air Force, Navy, and Infantry. They also held military maneuvers on the different territories, and there was representation for the North and South and Central Command of Israel. They also held 14 military maneuvers of different main military contingents, and they held long-range Air Force military maneuvers, and this was mentioned by the French media actually just a few days ago. And today, the maneuvers which we will speak about today, of course, this morning the Israeli army Army radio said that there will be maneuvers held for the Israeli Air Force. All of the Israeli Air Force, and the sirens will be heard in all different air bases, Air Force bases in Israel. These are the military maneuvers. Now, concerning training, hundreds of training sessions have been held for the Israelis. We also have seen joint military maneuvers, especially with the American troops, whether they be concerning confronting rocket attacks or maneuvers which have a different nature. Now, within this context, or within this perspective, after this long chain of military maneuvers and military training, we have the military maneuvers which will be held on the 31st of May until 4th of June, and these maneuvers, as I said, are called Turning Point 3. Now, let me speak about these maneuvers, Turning Point 3. These maneuvers, first of all, will be held in all of Israel, in all of the Zionist entity, not in one specific area. Now, preparations were made at the end of last year for these maneuvers, and these maneuvers are a completion of Turning Point 1 in 2007 and Turning Point 2, the military maneuvers which were organized in 2008. So these maneuvers, Turning Point 3, are a completion of the previous two. Now, they describe these military maneuvers, they describe these maneuvers as gigantic, huge maneuvers, and they say the aim is to make the Israelis more prepared for any possible military confrontation, whereby Israel, inside, internal Israel, will be part of the confrontation. They are holding these maneuvers, and they assume that all of Israel, even inside Israel, the cities, the villages, the settlements inside Israel, all of Israel, without any exception, will take part in the confrontation. This is their assumption. Now, the Deputy Defense Minister or War Minister, General Firnai, says that the aim of these maneuvers is to create a culture of emergency amongst the people in Israel. Now, I'm speaking to you, and I'm very cautious. Maybe some people will fear. This will create tension, create increased fears. Why should we speak about this? This is a question which some people might ask. But I want to, of course, raise the issue objectively. But on the other hand, look at what the Israelis are saying. Listen to what they will say. Listen to what, or look at what they will do. From the 31st of May until June 4, all of this entity, the hospitals, the schools, the underground bases, the military, the government, the media in Israel, all of them will take part in these maneuvers, in these measures which will be taken. The Israelis are doing this and do not know how they react, because these maneuvers have other far-reaching effects. So General Firnai says that the aim of these maneuvers is to create a culture of emergency amongst the people in Israel, as if the war will be held tomorrow morning. Now, if we add what is head by Gabi Ashkenazi, the head of Joint Chief of Staff, he says that during 2009 we will witness very, very complicated security challenges. God knows what he means by these security challenges. And Ashkenazi says that these challenges require from Israel to be prepared and to be ready. This, of course, underscores the importance of these maneuvers from the Israeli perspective. Now, in brief, General Firnai says that a whole nation will hold maneuvers for 5 days. A whole nation, politicians, security services, people, ministers, institutions, civil institutions, although they don't have a civil society, but anyway, all of Israel will take part. This is what is said by General Firnai. Now, the maneuvers, which, as I said, are named Turning Point 3, will include the emergency services, which are under the command of the Minister of War, referred to as Minister of Defense. The Israeli government as well will be in a state of emergency, and the security cabinet will also hold meetings as if they are in a state of war and taking decisions in a state of war. So they will depict such a scenario whereby even these meetings will be held. The Israeli army, all branches of the army, and especially the Israeli Air Force, the ministries, the institutions, the committees, municipalities, all different education institutions, all institutions inside Israel divided Israel into 27 areas compared to 10 areas they had divided in the previous emergency situations. The police, the civil defense forces of the Star of David, they will also take part. The scenario which they have depicted in these maneuvers and which assumes that there is an enemy and a confrontation, how would this confrontation be? A rocket attack, a very, very widespread rocket attack from Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and the Gaza Strip. That's the scenario they have depicted. And at the same time, escalation in the West Bank. This is the assumption the Israelis have been made. Of course, rocket attacks and of course, explosions in Haifa or near Haifa, and also certain events in Gilat, many different acts of violence and rockets falling on settlements and cities in all Israel. Of course, they have stated the goals or the aims of these maneuvers. Of course, they're speaking about the readiness of the government, the institutions, the police, the performance of the government, how will the government in Israel perform against such an attack. Of course, the level of cooperation between different agencies, between different branches, political and military, of course, training the people of Israel how to confront the rocket attacks and how to go into underground bases in record times between 15 seconds and 3 minutes. To go down to the bomb shelters and also to improve the capabilities of the hospitals so that they can absorb the highest number of casualties. These are the maneuvers, and so the whole Israeli entity will be preoccupied with these maneuvers for 5 days. And they also will speak about, they forgot to mention the fear amongst the Israeli people, meaning they will allow their people to live a state of fear, to live a state of war, to live a state of rocket attacks, just for the sake of holding these maneuvers. Why? Because, as I will tell you, this is something they must put up with to achieve future aims. So they believe it's worth it for their people to live in a state of fear for 5 days during these military maneuvers. Now, concerning these maneuvers which the Israelis intend to hold, and they've begun with the preparations today with the Air Force maneuvers, of course, the Israeli Air Force will hold maneuvers for 3 days on the level also of the whole entity. Now, if we want to read in between the lines of these maneuvers, we cannot separate these military maneuvers from the previous military maneuvers, military training, and the war plots of the enemy from one side, and we cannot separate these maneuvers from the developments which are being witnessed in the region. So we must, of course, read in between the lines and reach some conclusions. Now, usually, when we analyze, we must look at the current strategic situation. If you look at the current strategic situation, of course, the Zionist enemy behaves in accordance with the strategic situation and always takes the current strategic situation into consideration. Now, there are many developments, many challenges which have been witnessed on the level of our region, and this is not related to a period of 1 or 2 years. This is related to a of course, longer period of time. Now, if you want to begin on these very, very important days of May, there is no doubt that the defeat of the Israelis on the 25th of May 2000 and the humiliating withdrawal of the Israelis from Lebanon in 2000, the year 2000, without any preconditions, without any agreements, without any benefits, the humiliating Israeli withdrawal in the year 2000, which we all remember in the Arab world and in Lebanon, this, of course, left very, very dangerous repercussions on the Israelis, and many Israeli officials recognize this. Now, after this defeat in the year 2000, and after the repercussions of this defeat, and I won't go into detail of this, we have spoken about it, and on the 25th of May, I might mention this issue. But another point which I'd like to focus on, after the year 2000, we saw the Intifada of Al-Aqsa for the Palestinians, and this became an armed Palestinian resistance. It was transformed into an armed Palestinian resistance. And for the first time did we see such a strong Palestinian resistance. Even the leaders of the Zionist entity considered during that time, during the Intifada, it considered that it was waging the Second War of Independence, because they believed that the founding of Israel in 1948 was the First War of Independence. Now, then we reach the Israelis being forced to withdraw unilaterally from Gaza after the armed legitimate resistance against the Israelis increased. So this forced the Israelis to withdraw from Gaza. After that, we saw the July 2006 war and the defeat of the Israeli army during this war, and the Vinograd Commission and the conclusions of this commission, and of course the advice made by the commission and the results of this war on the army and on the government in Israel. This all shows how badly affected Israel was after the July 2006 war. We saw also development in the resistance and the resistance movements. Now, this is the direct points. In addition, we must also speak and mention, as part of the strategic situation, the failure of normalizing ties with the peoples of certain countries, even the countries which have signed agreements with Israel. So these agreements, peace agreements signed between Israel and some Arab countries, are official agreements, but they fail to transform these official agreements to normal ties with the peoples of these countries, specifically the countries of Egypt and Jordan, with whom Israel has signed peace agreements. Now, in addition to this, we have increased vigilancy in the Arab world and increased rejection from the Arabs for Israel, and we have popular support in the Arab world for the resistance and for the symbols of the resistance. This support, of course, has overcome any attempts by the Americans or the Israelis or those who support the Americans or Israelis to isolate the resistance movement. So the Arab support has prevented the isolation of the resistance movements. In addition, we have the growth of the capabilities and the developing of the capabilities of Iran during the past few years, especially the technological capabilities and the possession of nuclear technology for civil peace purposes in Iran, and Israel's accusations towards Iran that Iran is striving to possess nuclear weapons in Israel consider this as an existential threat for the existence of Israel, although Iran categorically denies that it is striving to possess nuclear weapons. In addition to this, we have the development and the improving capabilities, military capabilities of Syria, and the strategic cooperation between Syria and Iran, and serious support of resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine, strong support from Syria and solid support from Syria, of course, and the failures to isolate Syria and weaken Syria and impose conditions on Syria during the past few years. Of course, these past few years were probably one of the most difficult years Syria witnessed. The fifth issue, the failure or near failure of the American project or scheme, and the failure of the American efforts to wage comprehensive wars similar to the wars on Afghanistan and Iraq. The sixth point, the world's preoccupation in the crises we witness in other parts of the world, but especially the financial crisis. This is all part of the strategic atmosphere, the strategic environment which we are living today. Now, in addition to all those points concerning the Palestinian resistance movements in Lebanon and in Palestine, the capabilities of the resistance are increasing, are improving the tactics, the military training of the resistance movements is improving. Before, the Israelis used to fight gangs, but now they are fighting a different war against a different type of enemy, and we saw this in Gaza and in other wars. Also, the enemy considers that all of Palestine is part of any future war. So Israel doesn't worry now about one settlement on its borders. Now Israelis seriously consider that any war which they want to wage, especially against the resistance in Lebanon, if they want to wage such a war, all of Israel will be subject to attacks. Not one settlement in northern occupied Palestine. So what could we say if Israel, for example, decides of a regional war? What could happen to Israel then? And, of course, before, Israel used to consider their resistance as a threat to its daily security and to the security of its citizens, but now it considers the resistance as a strategic threat to Israel, although they don't consider these movements yet as an existential threat. But they do consider these movements as a strategic threat. They consider Iran as an existential threat, but they consider resistance movements as a threat to their strategic security. So before they used to consider them as a threat to daily security, now they are considered a threat to strategic security. Now, after the July 2006 war, after all of these developments, and with the presence of a new Zionist Israeli government, of course, the settlement has gone back to square one, as the Palestinians say. Now, all the people are begging Netanyahu to accept the two-state solution. So we've gone back to square one on this issue. The enemy, of course, is continuing with these huge military maneuvers. How can we read these maneuvers, and what are the possible scenarios? Of course, we raise certain possibilities. The experts also raise the possible scenarios, and many people say all different scenarios are possible, but the scenarios combined together could also occur. So there's a possibility that we could have a scenario which brings together all possibilities. Now, the first scenario I would like to speak about, we could say that the aim of these military maneuvers is a psychological aim to increase the morale of the Israelis, meaning after what the Zionists were subject to, after the Zionists lost confidence in what they used to call the invincible army, after the failures of the governments, after the falling of different Israeli governments and the elections held in Israel, and in light of a crisis being witnessed amongst the Israeli public, the main aim of these maneuvers is to bring back confidence once again, to boost the morale, whether it be confidence of the army in itself and confidence in the generals of the army. And you know that after the July 2006 war, generals hold soldiers responsibility and soldiers held the generals responsible. So I think maybe one of the scenarios, one of the aims which we could speak about is regaining confidence in the military, military regaining confidence in itself. So we could say one of the aims is an aim of psychology, a psychological aim and an aim to boost morales. This is one scenario. Now the second scenario is that Israel seriously worries for its existence, fears for its existence due to the developments which we just mentioned, which I just mentioned, or at least it fears its strategic and national security. And so for this reason, it is doing whatever it believes is necessary to maintain its strength, to maintain its military upper hand, and to stay prepared to face any danger, meaning that Israel is taking all necessary measures, holding these maneuvers, including maneuver turning point 3, as a defensive approach to defend against any danger. The third scenario, let's name it the terrorizing scenario, to send a strong message to all those in the region, to everyone in the world. A message to the Palestinians, a message to the Lebanese, a message to Syria, a message to the Arab people, even a message to the Arab regimes, all Arab regimes. A message to Iran, a message to the rest of the world, to all other countries in the world. Now, the contents of this message I will mention, but the main aim is to say that don't think Israel is weak, don't think Israel is dismantled or hesitant. No. Of course, this is their approach. This is what Israel wants to say. It wants to say it is strong. It has the upper hand, and it will confront everyone and is capable of crushing everyone and is ready to wage a war on the level of the whole country, of the whole entity in the region, without any hesitation. Now, this message is directed, first of all, to the Palestinians with the Netanyahu government so that the Palestinians agree to the status quo, because Netanyahu and Lieberman do not accept the two-state solution. They do not accept such a solution, and they want to speak about self-governance, and let's just focus on economy and the quality of life for the Palestinians without mentioning the two-state issue. And they are also focusing on Israel as a Jewish state, so in another way targeting Palestinians in the 1948 territories, and they are also trying to tell the Palestinians there is no Al-Quds, so we will continue to force the Palestinians in Al-Quds to leave their homes, and a continuation of settlement activities. And we've also heard that there has been an auction for building of new settlements in the West Bank. So they're trying to tell the Palestinians, you have no choice except the status quo, as George Bush advised you before. Take what Sharon gives you. Now they're saying, take what Netanyahu and Lieberman will give you. This is also a message to Syria. Syria, which wants to regain its occupied territories, it's also a message to all Arab governments and all Arab people. They're trying to tell the Arab governments and the Arab people that we're continuing with this plot, with our wish for a Jewish state. We're continuing with our settlement activities. We'll continue with our activities in Al-Quds. We're continuing to force the Palestinians to flee. And you Arab peoples and you Arab governments, go to hell, you can't do anything. And if anyone even thinks of preventing us and preventing this Zionist plot in Palestine, this strong military Israel, not with the traditional weapons, but with nuclear weapons, is ready for war. This is a message which the Israelis are trying to send as well. There's also a message to terrorize Iran, and actually a message to terrorize Lebanon. The message is that we killed you before and will continue to kill you. Not me, but even some officials fear a security incident happening in Lebanon with Israeli hands. So the message to Lebanon by the Israelis, whatever happens, our warplanes violate your airspace. Of course, our spying agencies have infiltrated, so don't think of defending yourselves and don't think of any retaliation. You must bow down and deter to any military campaign we will launch, because you will face an entity ready for war. This is a message to Lebanon. Now, the message to Iran is that Israel will not take any nuclear situation, nuclear program lightly, will always behave sternly against any nuclear program, and if we take action, it's because you have threatened us, Israel and the government, and if Iran responds to any Israeli attack, Israel, the whole Israeli entity, is ready to confront you. So this is a message to Iran, and this is the third scenario, the whole third scenario, which I call the terrorizing scenario. So we have three scenarios: psychological, defensive, and terrorizing. These are the three scenarios which draw up the possibilities, and as I said before, the three scenarios together might be the aim, or might represent the aim of these military maneuvers. The last scenario, which is the fourth scenario, is that Israel And we must not ignore this scenario. We might not like this scenario, people might not like this, but what can we do? Israel might be preparing for a new surprise war, a new surprising war. And Israel assumes, because we notice in all of the Israeli speeches, in the Israeli rhetoric about these military maneuvers, when the Israelis speak to their people, they mention, of course, surprise reactions, surprise retaliation. They know, at least, that nobody wants to open a new front, a war front with Israel, whether it be rocket attacks or military war, comprehensive military warfare. So here the question is asked, why do they speak about a surprise reaction? This raises a question, maybe the Israelis are planning to go ahead with a military security adventure, and the Israelis assume that such an adventure, this military security adventure, will lead to surprise retaliation. A surprise reaction, unexpected reaction. And so for that reason, the Israeli community in this entity must be ready within seconds or within minutes to hold these maneuvers, because they will begin with, they will take the first step. They will go ahead with the military adventure, but they are afraid from the community, from the reaction to the adventure which the Israelis themselves will go on. So when we speak about this scenario, everything is possible, anything is possible. So we don't have any information, we can't say what the real aim is, but these four points which I mentioned must all be considered. So this is the analysis of the maneuvers, especially turning point three, and these are the possibilities. First of all, it might be to a psychological issue, it might be a defensive approach, it might be psychological terrorizing war, and it might be preparing for a certain military adventure. Israel might be preparing to go ahead with a certain military campaign, or at least go ahead with a certain security operation, because they have spoken about a surprise reaction. Now, how should we behave? How should we act? First of all, I would like to calm down the atmosphere, and as analysis, we don't have any information, but as part of an analysis, we do not believe that the Zionist enemy will launch a surprise war, surprise military war. Now, security is something else. From the 31st of May to the 4th of June, before that, after that, security, of course, meaning assassinations or anything else, this is always possible. But to take advantage of these military maneuvers and this military readiness to raise the possibility of an Israeli military war, if you look at the current situation, we tend to believe that Israel will probably not go ahead with a full-scale military war. This is analysis, as I said, this is not based upon information. But analysis is something, and taking precautionary measures is something else. Taking responsibility is something else. And we always must look into the worst scenarios. In politics, we can analyze as we wish. We can be optimistic, pessimistic, say nothing will happen. But politics is something else. Now, when we speak about confrontation and war, we can't depend on analysis. We don't defend the country by analysis. So for this reason, we must be vigilant, we must be cautious, and we must take all precautionary measures. We, at this early stage, because we are always continuously monitoring the Israeli military maneuvers which were held ever since the end of the July 2006 war until now, we've been monitoring as much as our intelligence allows us. Of course, we focused on these Israeli military maneuvers, turning point three. Now, in the first session of the Lebanese National Dialogue, the main item on the Lebanese National Dialogue is the weapons or the strategy of defense. Now, the head of the Hezbollah parliamentary bloc, Mohammad Raad, spoke about these military maneuvers. He raised the issue of the military maneuvers with the other Lebanese politicians on the table of national dialogue. And Mohammad Raad, the head of the Hezbollah parliamentary bloc, spoke about the military maneuvers, and he said, this is the magnitude of these maneuvers. And he also added that we in Lebanon, the people, the state, the resistance, we are a neighboring country to this entity, and so we must assume responsibility. And to be very honest, we did not raise this issue on the table of national dialogue to, of course, provide justifications for our weapons. We raise this issue in order to draw up a national policy towards these military maneuvers and towards future military maneuvers, because this is not the end of the chain of Israeli military maneuvers. So we wanted a national policy, national Lebanese policy, to deal with this subject, because this, of course, concerns all of Lebanon, not just Hezbollah or the armed resistance. It also concerns the whole region, especially if the scenarios, if all the scenarios I mentioned might be possible. But unfortunately, and we must speak in a responsible manner, they didn't show a lot of interest in this issue. Some of those on the table of national dialogue did show interest and did take positions, did take a political stance, yes, but on the level of the Lebanese state, the table of national dialogue did not thoroughly discuss this issue and did not consider these Israeli military maneuvers as a very serious issue. Of course, during the next session of National Dialogue, the military maneuvers will already be held. And the Lebanese government did not discuss this issue as well. The Lebanese government did not put together a ministerial committee. They did not even consider this issue to deserve a meeting for the Higher Council of Defense. Why don't you meet? Why don't you say, we looked into this issue, we studied this issue, we revised, we analyzed, we held contacts, and there is no danger to Lebanon, no security, no military danger, and there are no surprises. So you Lebanese, be calm, nothing is required. You could have at least done this. This country, this political authority, which says it's responsible for the security and stability and destiny of the country in defense of this country, at least this government, at least this authority, should assume its responsibilities. We gave them, we showed them the information and said, assume your responsibilities. Tell the Lebanese people, tell us, tell the army, what should we do? How should we act? Should we stay in a normal situation? Should we take certain precautionary measures? Should we be in an emergency situation? Should we stay preoccupied with the elections? What steps should we take? But there was no answer. Nobody answered. Nobody gave a response. Why? Because some consider that they're not concerned. Unfortunately, we only hear slogans and rhetoric that decisions of war and peace are under the responsibility of the state. Did this state, did this Lebanese state at any time, did it take a decision of war and peace? Has it taken such a decision for the interests of Lebanon, for the sake of Lebanon, for the security and stability and regaining of territories of Lebanon, for the sake of Lebanon's water, for the sake of the Lebanese people? Did this state take any such decision, and did we stand against any decision? So it's not just saying we have decision of war and peace, it's not that simple. You must prove yourself. This is what we mean when we say a strong, capable state. Not just a state which possesses weapons, a state which has a political leadership. What was the problem with the Israelis in July 2006? Was it just the military? It was also the political leadership. The political leadership was in a state of confusion. It was hesitant. So what we need in Lebanon is a strong political leadership, a strong political authority, which will say in the current manifesto, in the previous manifesto, ever since the Taif Accord and before the Taif Accord, Lebanon officially considers Israel as an enemy. So this enemy is saying that it wants to hold military maneuvers, the greatest, biggest maneuvers in the history of the entity for 61 years. So this Lebanese state, which considers Israel an enemy, and this enemy, which is holding these greatest military maneuvers in its history, Where's the response of the Lebanese state? How does Lebanese state act? How does it act diplomatically, in the media, militarily, from a security perspective? Of course, these spying networks is another subject, a different subject, and it seems that I'm not going to find the time to speak about this. So spying networks are a totally different issue which we'll speak about. Military maneuvers are something else. I and all of us hoped that the Lebanese government and the Lebanese state would act in a different way towards this subject. We still have a few days left until these military maneuvers are held. Here I'm not trying to score political points. This is something which concerns our country, our region, the future of our country. So this is not an internal political issue where we try and score political points against each other. We still have a few days left until these maneuvers are held. Let's hold an extraordinary national dialogue meeting. Let's have a ministerial committee be formed. Of course, the higher defense committee, let them hold a meeting. And then you can go and tell the Lebanese people there's nothing to worry about, or you can tell them to take certain precautionary measures. You always call on us to, of course, take certain stances. You always call us to act in this way or that way. So here, of course, I'm calling for an extraordinary meeting for the Table of National Dialogue. Now, unfortunately, not only did we not see responsible action, but we also found that some believe that Lebanon is not even concerned with this issue. Israel speaks about the northern front on the border with Lebanon and on Lebanon, what could happen towards Lebanon. And some consider that after the national dialogue session, we don't want to name anyone, because they're still trying to respond to the speech I made on Friday. So they said that Lebanon is not concerned with these military maneuvers. Of course, I understand these positions, these stances taken, because officially, on the official documents, we say Israel is an enemy, but psychologically, spiritually, the Lebanese politicians, some of them, are they really acting as if Israel is an enemy? When they say Israel is an enemy, do they really believe Israel will attack the country, or do they believe the contrary? Do they believe otherwise? At least this is an armed enemy, an enemy which is ready to hold military maneuvers. But one Lebanese politician said, we as Lebanese are not concerned. Some others even said that this is a Hezbollah invention, and Hezbollah threw this issue on the table of national dialogue. Maybe Hezbollah is planning for something before the elections, so Hezbollah is creating an atmosphere of conflict with Israel. No, we're not doing any such thing. We are waiting for the elections. We support holding of these elections. These elections are very important, and the elections must be held on June the 7th. And we specifically, the opposition, it's in our interest, and the resistance, it's in our interest to hold these elections on June the 7th, because you saw our sufferings during the 4 years, and we know what we'll suffer if the election results turn in a certain way. So, unfortunately, instead of behaving in a responsible manner, they started using this rhetoric and accusing Hezbollah of inventing this issue. If the state takes its responsibility, we're ready. If it does not, we're part of the Lebanese people. We are also targeted. And so, like what happened until 1982, until now, when the Lebanese state did not act in the liberation of the territories, for many long years the Lebanese state was absent, even officially. Then it was present on some levels, but the people did not abandon their responsibilities, whether it be concerning liberating their territories or detainees or water, or defending their country and their sovereignty and their honor. So, after saying all that, I would like to say the following concerning us as resistance, so that nobody would make certain assumptions about how Hezbollah would act. We must take certain precautionary measures during the period of the military maneuvers to of course, prevent the Israelis, in order not to provide the Israelis any chance to target Lebanon. Now, concerning Syria, Iran, the West Bank, Gaza, they will take their own precautionary measures. But for Lebanon, it's our responsibility to take our own precautionary measures, not so we won't provide the Israelis a chance to take any action against Lebanon. At the same time, we will be ready and we will be vigilant and we will be prepared 100%. And I am announcing this now, not to relieve, not to, of course, create anxiety amongst the people, but to assure the people. I want to send a message to the Israelis, if they're thinking of anything between the 31st of May and June 4, if they want to depend on the element of surprise, we tell the Israelis, this will fail. Depending on the element of surprise against Lebanon will fail. And the Israeli enemy knows, after his experience before with the Lebanese resistance and with the Palestinian resistance, the Israelis know that the resistance will not weaken and will not be hesitant in doing its duty and defending its people and country and its dignity and its honor. The Israelis know this message very well. So I don't have to make a speech of threats to the Israelis. I'd like to tell the Israelis, even before the 31st of May, do not depend on the element of surprise against Lebanon. We are always cautious and vigilant. Our faces will not be rubbed in the sand, because we are a generation. This is what has been decided for us. We are a generation and we live in a country which is neighbored, unfortunately, in holy territories in Palestine, but we have a neighbor where there exists the worst, a most harsh, and the biggest terrorist entity in history. So this is our destiny, to confront this terrorist entity. Do we leave our country? Do we rub our faces in the sand? Do we surrender to the Israelis? Do we work as spies? Do we, of course, make a settlement? Since 1982, we haven't acted in this way. And many others, Palestinians, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Arabs, did not do this ever since 1948. They did not take these approaches. We won't take such an approach. The approaches meaning settlements or surrender or spying for Israel. Now, I hope and I call on everyone to live their normal lives, but it's our duty to draw this picture. It's our responsibility to speak in a frank way, but at the same time, responsibility calls on us to be vigilant. We continue going to schools, going to our jobs, we continue to live our normal way of life. We hold our elections on June 7th. People will go to the elections. Now, there are some people, I promise you, some people will be awake for 24 hours a day, taking the precautionary measures, and the Lebanese security services and the Lebanese army. And I heard that the head of the Lebanese army visited South Lebanon days ago and took very, very important good stances. The Lebanese intelligence is behaving in an appropriate manner. And so I hope all of the Lebanese, the army, the intelligence, security services, I hope all of them will take their responsibilities, because this is a national security issue. During this period, we must all be vigilant and monitor. We must not be preoccupied with the elections. I'm not saying abandon the elections. Now, the timing, I can't say is it a coincidence or not, the military maneuvers with the elections. Is it to have a psychological effect? Is there any relation between the timing of these maneuvers to be very close to the elections? I don't know. This is an issue of analysis. But in this world of wolves, where the strong eat the weak, in a world which lives by the law of a jungle, in a world where we see incapability of condemning the government of the enemy during the massacres of Khan the First, Khan the Second, and during the war against Gaza, when we see incapability of condemning Israel in the Security Council and the use of the veto in the Security Council, when we live a world where people cannot defend their existence, their dignity, and their continuing living, where people cannot depend on anyone except Allah, God, and their own capabilities, we find no other way except what I mentioned now. Now, I hope that these days, 31st of May until June 4 will pass by in peace without any surprises occurring. And I hope that the Lebanese army will be present. I hope that all Lebanese security services as well will be present. And I hope we have this feeling of nationalism and patriotism. This feeling makes us strong and makes us stand against the Israeli enemy, who knows that when it wants to wage any war, the results must be guaranteed. Otherwise, the results of such a war, from the Israeli perspective, will be catastrophic. So, this situation, this resistance, confrontation situation, this vigilant situation, I'm speaking about our situation. This is our weapon against the enemy. Vigilancy, strength, support for the resistance. This is the way to face the enemy. Long live you, long live Lebanon. And hopefully, as I said time and again, we must trust our God, we must trust our people, we must be confident in our people and our army in our resistance. We must depend and be confident in our ability to confront any military assault or military campaign. And of course, the era of defeats is over and the era of victories has arrived. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.